I'd like to tell you a little bit about Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio brings you a platform unlike anything on the internet today. A place where voices are heard, ideas are shared, and friendships are formed. So why not join the information revolution at freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Good morning. You're listening to the Fact Hunter Experience on Revolution.radio and FreedomSlips.com.
I feel secure in my decision. I don't know the long-term effects.
I opted to take the unpaid leave.
Karen Roses is a patient care technician at a New York hospital. Rob Herbst, a married father of three boys, spent 17 years at a New York City high school as a phys ed teacher. Raquel Martinez is a pediatric occupational therapist. They all reach the same conclusion about vaccine mandates.
Why did you decide to put your livelihood on the line?
I felt like I didn't have much of a choice in the matter, that I was being forced to do something, to put something into my body.
I felt that what they were doing, what they have done, is they've basically held for ransom your health insurance, your benefits, your livelihood, your career in some cases.
A decision pulling at Raquel's heart.
My last task at my job was laminating hearts for my students. And I was able to place them in boxes. I'm getting very emotional because I miss them.
The consequences go beyond emotion.
Financially, can you see yourself continuing?
We have discussed the possibilities of having to sell our house, having to find a new place to live.
Does anything keep you awake at night?
Yeah. You know, fear of the future, not knowing, you know, what's going to happen next. Am I going to be able to get a job? Or are we going to be able to keep our home? Losing a significant portion of your income just like that, where you weren't able to prepare, it's shocking.
But for them, concerns about the vaccine more frightening than losing their jobs.
Are you afraid that being vaccinated will hurt you?
There's too many unknowns for me to be comfortable with it.
I think we need to allow for adequate science and studies to be done.
Rob believes because he already had COVID, he's protected. Research shows the vaccines are overwhelmingly effective and safe, and antibody levels do wane over time after infection.
What do you say when people say, it's just selfish not to think of the larger community and just to think of yourself?
Well, it's selfish to think that an individual or a government is going to take away my right to choose what's best for me. Wouldn't that be selfish?
I don't think anybody should impose their beliefs on me for what I choose not to do.
What would you need to hear to change your mind?
I don't think there's anything I need to hear.
If my spirit is telling me this is not right for me, I'm going to listen to my intuition every time.
I'm not saying not ever. I'm just saying not yet, not for me.
taking a firm stand, and now figuring out how to live with it. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, New York.
Thanks for watching our YouTube channel. Follow today's top stories and breaking news by downloading the NBC News
app. Say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that achievable.
Good morning, everybody. It is October 27th, 2021. How's everybody doing? Hope you're having a great week. It's hump day, halfway through the week, five more working days until Monday. Yesterday, we got to celebrate Mrs. Fact Hunter's birthday. We had a nice time. We went out. We don't go out to eat too much, but we went out to a nice restaurant that sits right on the Atlantic Ocean, and it was a great time. Hope everybody's having a great morning. Thank you to Mitchell and Daniel for filling the 8 to 10 time slot this morning. It's great to see, again, revolution.radio, freedomslips.com. It is, you know, the line in the sand for freedom. And they don't take, there's other truth radio out there, but they have commercials. And trust me, when it comes to the dollar and a host, they're going to choose the dollar every time. Revolution Radio is listener supported. There's no commercials on here. Everybody's just trying to preach the truth. Again, we all don't agree on everything, but we know one thing, we're being lied to on epic, you know, at a epic proportion. So please go to the homepage, revolution.radiofreedomslips.com. At the very top, there's a donation if you want to do a one-time donation. If you want to be like me and become a Patreon, where it's very simple, the first of every month, your donation comes right out, right? You set it and forget it, like they used to say in the old commercial. If you prefer to write a check or money order or send a gold bar, you can send that to Terry Ackerman at 1793 North Eden Road. That's E-D-O-N. Allen, Michigan, 49227. And as we look down at the website counter, we're at 298,596. We're about to eclipse 300,000 views on here. People are waking up. I tend to be a kind of an observant guy no matter where I'm at. I kind of look at people and try to read how they are. And when I was about last night, you could see the concern on people's faces, the uncertainty on people's faces. The first thing when the waiter came up to us last night, you know, he had his specials of the night and he said, by the way, we're out of this, we're out of this, we're out of this, we're out of this. We're like, geez, man. So this supply shortage is not just some, you know, scare technique, you know, and sometimes when I get done the radio show or a podcast, I'm like, geez, it's always bad news, right? But the fact of the matter is you can be oblivious to it and do nothing and wait to get eaten by the monster, or you can be proactive. And that's why myself and I believe 86 other hosts do this 48 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I've only been a part of this for the last 6 months. This station has been trudging along for about 11 years now. And there's so many great voices on this radio network between Giuseppe and Jim, who will join us at noon Eastern, 9 on the West Coast with the event, which is, just in my humble opinion, one of the best shows of the week. And then Giuseppe's got a Friday night show. He's got a show Saturday afternoon, Scorpio, Operation Scorpio, 1 to 4. Fetches before him, 10 to 1. Like, I don't get a lot of stuff done because these guys are so good. I stop everything I'm doing. My wife doesn't even bother with me on Saturdays. I put on my headphones. I go out to the workshop or, you know, whatever to do. And I'm just focused because knowledge is power. And honestly, guys, the only place we're going to get knowledge and power like this are through, you know, these type of non-mockingbird media type of programs. And hats off to everybody who contributes to this great fight. And shout out to Mitchell, who I know is, I think he's got a friend or family member who's under the weather. So our prayers are with them as well. And thanks. I admire Mitchell a lot because I come in here once a week. I do my podcast once a week and we do roundtables and stuff like that but the dedication of Mitchell to get up 5 days a week and bring it and then produce for Jim, I admire him very much. And we all owe Mitch a great deal of gratitude, as well as everybody else who keeps this great platform alive and kicking, right? Shout out to the Simple Minds. So I think I covered that. We are at 595 days to flatten the curve. It started with 14. We're about to eclipse 600 days. Wow, that's a new level of tyranny. If you missed last night's podcast, it was episode 80, The Rothschild Virus. It was pre-recorded. We brought it for about 60 minutes. You know, it's funny how all things we talk about normally point to the Rothschilds. And we've got some news to cover today and things like that, but I don't want to get too far into this, but I get a lot of emails. Sometimes I get 2 emails a day. Sometimes I get 10 emails a day. And most of them are complimentary or have an idea. But sometimes I get emails that say, you need to focus more on this, right? You need to spend time, more time breaking down 9/11 or this, that, and the other thing. But the funny thing is, I have never gotten an email that says you should spend more time breaking down the Federal Reserve. Because the fact of the matter, and again, this is just my opinion, if we didn't have the Federal Reserve, we wouldn't have endless wars. We wouldn't have all this free money that they're handing out, which is causing, in my opinion, is one of the biggest reasons we have a labor shortage. And of course, we wouldn't have endless amounts of money to finance people like Anthony Fauci, who, it's funny, it took people, him torturing dogs to get pissed off. People weren't really upset when he was doing tests on human beings like they've been doing for the last, you know, year, 18 months, whatever. But when they saw the puppies were involved, oh, that's it. That's the line in the sand. I mean, of course, it's terrible. It's criminal. I mean, that basically ended, what was that quarterback's name? Michael Vick's career. People are very sensitive to their dogs. I have two of them. But it's just funny that people weren't upset about the human testing that's been going on. And that's what is going on. It's human testing. Okay? Because breaking news, there has been no long-term studies. The end. That's the end of the argument. That's the whole argument. Walk away from the table. Right? So something that we, if there's one thing you need to focus on, it's getting rid of the Fed. Right? We never had a world war before 1913. Right? We got this bottomless money now, fake money. And they can print all they want. Don't you print money. You'll go to jail. It's okay for the Fed to print money. That's all right. Anyway, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. When you do these shows, there's two things. You got to say, you know, what makes the cut? What should I talk about? What should I not talk about? And then I try to put them in an order of precedence that kind of makes sense, that kinds of flows together. It's another reason why I got a lot of respect for Mitchell. He does it 5 days a week. Your Fact Hunter fact of the day. Did you know that Muhammad Atta, Timothy McVeigh, and David Koresh all died at the age of 33? Moving along. We have a gentleman who visits our Fact Hunter podcast every Wednesday night for the roundtable. His name is John. He's from Ireland, and he is a diehard as well. He gets up we start our roundtable at 9 p.m., so it's 2 a.m. his time, and he does a blog. And I thought I wanted to start today's show by reading his blog because he's a very thoughtful, very intelligent man, and he brings a lot of levity to our show. And it's extrapolations.blog, and he talks about hitting the wall. And a quote from Frank Zappa, the illusion of freedom will continue as long as it's profitable to continue the illusion. At the point where the illusion becomes too expensive to maintain, they will just take down the scenery. They will pull back the curtains. They will move the tables and chairs out of the way, and you will see the brick wall at the back of the theater. Frank Zappa. There are a significant number of us now who have seen the curtain drawn back to reveal the brick wall, and we understand what it means. That means we've been in prison for all of our lives. And while we are allowed to believe comfortable lies about our society heretofore, now that our guardians have declared themselves to be our custodians, what do we, who'd like to think of ourselves as being honorable people, do about it? I absolutely do not advocate sitting aloof and thinking we're above it all. I can't stand those kind of people who think they're so enlightened that they can sit back and simply marvel at their own lack of concern while our society crumbles and the light of our people is extinguished. Luke 12, 51 to 53 reads, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be 5 in one house divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. Yes, we have a right and moral duty to oppose an unjust situation when we recognize it. And remember that. That's a powerful sentence right there. We have not just a right, but it's our duty to oppose an unjust situation when we recognize it. And if you don't recognize what's going on right now as unjust, then it may be time to go to the eye doctor. Continuing. And not simply because it affects us personally, but because it's an insult to justice and truth. We all have a right to defend ourselves and to escape subjugation, but there are rules of engagement and a moral code that we should determine for ourselves, which we must remain absolutely consistent with if we want to remain in honor. Expect nothing from anyone else that we wouldn't want to be prepared to live up to ourselves. Remember, too, that your enemies can be honorable, whereas your own friends and family can be treacherous. Most people are only concerned with the material self and have shallow and shifting priorities. There are some honorable people in every camp, even if there are adversaries, and we can recognize and respect each other. Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali were for their people, but stood in honor and are deserving of respect. Benjamin Franklin had every incentive to keep quiet and to stay on his side, but he chose to speak the truth as loudly as he could because he stood on principle rather than tribal loyalty. Quote, "Gradually it was disclosed to me that the line separating good and evil passes not through the states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart. This line shifts inside of us. It oscillates with the years. And even within hearts overwhelmed by evil, one small bridgehead of good is retained. And even in the best of all hearts, there remains an uprooted small corner of evil." That's from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, The Gulag Archipelago. A great many of our own people are corrupt and rotten, although it's not for me to judge, beyond redemption from what I can see. Life is complicated, and the lines between good and bad actors are not so easily drawn anymore. We must be meticulous in our own discernment, precise in our thinking, and match our actions with our words. Thank you, John. That was a great blog that just came out about an hour before the show. I wanted to make sure it's heard because those are very powerful words. And my thanks to John at Eternal Extrapolations. He has a YouTube channel. He's got great videos. So you go to YouTube, Eternal Extrapolations. Just a great, great, powerful mind. Let's go ahead and kick off some of the news before we get into the main event, if you will. I think this broke yesterday afternoon. Veteran official Carl Madsen, NFL official, a referee, he died on the way home from a Chiefs-Titans game. Carl Madsen, a National Football League veteran official, died Sunday on his way home from the Kansas City Chiefs and Tennessee Titans game in Nashville, the league told CNN. He was 71 and he was very fit. Of course, the next sentence reads, "The cause of death is unknown." But let it be known that if you are a referee in the NFL, you are fully, we don't like to use the word vaccinated, but he has completed his gene therapy. How's that? Quote, "Carl Madsen was an NFL officiating fixture for more than two decades, first as a highly respected on-field official before transitioning to a replay role beginning about a decade ago. He was a veteran. He served in the United States Air Force from 1973 to 1976. He's been in the league for about close to 25 years. And of course, they'll find something to attribute it to, but it certainly will not be the jab. And again, this is somebody who had a choice. They had a choice between that NFL paycheck, which I'm sure was nice, or keeping his health. And this just goes to show, no matter how good that money is, how good is that money to him right now? I think he would like to go to the replay booth and reverse his decision. Right? And don't forget, next Saturday, we'll be turning the clocks back soon. But gaining an extra hour in 2021 is kind of like getting a bonus track on a Yoko Ono album. So we keep that extra hour this year. Let's keep moving along. This is breaking in the last few hours, I believe, maybe last night. The CDC, that's right, the third boost isn't enough. Your fourth dose may be needed for immunocompromised people. People, how long have we been saying this for? This is never ending. And we've been trying to tell people for months that they're going to keep dangling the carrot. And I said today, I said, by the time this is over, people are going to have more mercury in them than a thermometer. The CDC is now signaling that some people may need a fourth vaccine shot. According to the CDC's website, people whose immune system is compromised and already have gotten a booster shot may need a fourth dose 6 months later. Medical conditions and treatments can make it harder for immunocompromised people to build immunity. By the way, going back to that opening video / audio I played for you at the beginning of the show, a couple things you couldn't see because you were obviously only getting the audio. When she was interviewing those people, they were all 6 feet apart. So these things are all carefully crafted, even when you think, like, hey, the media is actually playing this stuff. Well, number one, they had the people sitting 6 feet apart from each other, more brainwashing. And you remember that little clip she put in there, that little blurb, vaccines are overwhelmingly safe, right? And how about when she said, what about when people say you're selfish, right? And he stood up for himself. At least he said the right thing, which I'm shocked they even played it. Again, we need more people like that. Again, just look at that NFL referee. What good's money if you're 6 feet under? It doesn't mean a damn thing. Unbelievable. So, yeah, the carrot will continue to be dangled. The doses will, I mean, this is going to continue as long as they're still making money. And if you missed this Sunday, Rachel Walensky, the head of the CDC, now she's like threatening cops who were refusing these shots. She wants them reeducated, right? Because obviously, if you don't follow the agenda, there's something wrong with you. And I think I said this on Sunday night's show called Jabbing Their Way to Communism. You know, the right and the left used to be not so far apart from each other, right? Like the classic liberal anti-war and things like that. What the Democratic Party now is simply a hammer and a sickle disguised as a donkey. This Democratic Party now, and I don't talk too much about politics because it's just more conquer, you know, divide and conquer. But what is representing the Democratic Party now is communism. It has left, you know, classic liberalism. It has just shot past socialism. It's full-fledged communism. You don't have free speech anymore. I guarantee most people listening to me have had their tweets, their Facebook posts, something has been censored. I assume many of you, like myself, have been booted from YouTube. Our freedom of speech has been infringed. We've been forced. My wife has taken a job 3 hours away because she's not getting the job. She starts November 15th. So, because we know we're not getting that shot. That's just not... that's not even a discussion. So Rachel Walensky, once again, she needs to re-educate these people because they're just not getting it. And you see what's about to go down in Chicago. All police officers who refuse to get jabbed with the recommended doses of the Rothschild virus vaccine will soon be re-educated and counseled, according to Rochelle Walensky for the U.S. Center of Disease Spread. And again, who are they going to put in charge of this? You know, we'll see what happens. We had a guest on last Wednesday night on the roundtable from Australia. She had a hypothesis that the police down there were UN troops disguised as police officers. She's like, you know, we know a lot of police down there. There's no way they would go around beating the hell out of people. So she thinks the United Nations has already infiltrated Australia. And of course, Rochelle Walensky is not just talking about police officers, but she's also talking about government workers will be, you know, placed and re-educated. She was on that sellout Chris Wallace on his little Fox News thing. She said, there is a plan should these people not want to be vaccinated. It's very evil. It's very diabolical. We're to the point now, I think we would be much better off just completely without a federal government. Just let the states run everything. Because it's we've reached communism. There's no way around it. We've reached communism. She goes on to say, we have seen that these mandates are getting more and more people vaccinated. What she's really saying is her threats are working and people are folding. What we know is the police workforce is there have been more deaths from the coronavirus over the last year and a half than all other causes of deaths for the workforce combined. So we believe, again, they believe because they know what's best for you. We believe that it is very important to get these people vaccinated. Again, they make the rules. And, you know, people laughed at the seatbelt law. Oh, they're just looking out for you. No, it was just another step of their long-term plan. Walensky went on to explain that American taxpayer dollars will be used, again, fiat money. They can use the dollar at their discretion. Went on to explain that American taxpayer dollars will be used to get people the information that they need so that they'll feel comfortable in getting vaccinated. So they will keep feeding you the propaganda until you finally cave in. But the fact of the matter is, I'm starting to think that some of these mandates are waking a lot of people up. And all across the United States, they try to suppress the videos, but some of them make their way through. Police officers, firefighters, and many other public servants, nurses, right? They're told to take the Operation Warp Speed injection or be fired from their position. Now, listen, Walensky and her husband have a whole hell of a lot of money to extract out of this whole thing, right? Everybody's making bank at the elite level. So they need everyone's compliance in order to, you know, progress the Agenda 2030 and to separate the elite from the lower class as they have done in the last 18 months. We've seen the greatest shift of wealth in mankind's history. And that, again, is another step in communism. The elite and the slave class, no middle class. That's what they're doing. Now, thankfully, some are not complying. Right? There's thousands, tens of thousands of Americans that still have principles, still have a conscience, and still are more concerned about their long-term health than their bank accounts. Many also realize now that this whole thing is a sham, and they don't want to get pushed around by the government. We've seen extreme numbers of police who are walking off the job in all the major cities. There's mandates federally and locally. A lot of these quote-unquote blue cities, that they're shoving these mandates down people's throats. Y'all remember the audio from a couple weeks ago, the Washington State Trooper Robert LeMay signed off from his post after 22 years on the job, telling Jay Inslee to kiss his ass. The former Cincinnati and Detroit police chief, James Craig, said the same thing on Tucker Carlson the other night, warning that this is all by design. This is not by accident. And it's not really until every Norman and Normie figure out that that's what this is. This is not by accident. This is a designed takedown of the United States of America. Not only then will we be able to set ourselves free. Again, there's no, it kills me. People who look to elites to save them from what's going on just don't get it. Don't look to Donald Trump. He's not going to help you. He's an elitist. Take it in your own hands. Democrats, he says, are working to force out all the good cops as part of their utterly ridiculous defund the police agenda. So what does that mean? Well, eventually, only bad cops who are fully vaccinated will remain. Remember, the Chinese already have re-education camps. The Uyghurs are experiencing it right now as we do this show. The government is planning to inform the hesitant after they didn't inform properly in advance anybody who, through propaganda and vile coercion, fell in the trap. Others reiterated that the fact that medical coercion without informed consent is always tyranny, representing the type of fascism that Antifa, which again, if it were truly an anti-fascist group, they would be out there protesting against this. But again, Antifa is run by the government. So, and I think one of the most infuriating stories that I've come across was the Rockefeller AMA, the American Medical Association. They are plotting to ban ivermectin because it works. And I ask you this, if ivermectin works, then doesn't that mean that this isn't a virus, that this is a parasite? The American Medical Association wants people to die from the Wuhan coronavirus. The reason we can safely say this is that the trade group is working overtime to restrict Americans' access to HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, and ivermectin, which are too safe, too effective, and inexpensive early treatment remedies for the Rothschild virus. Instead of recognizing that each individual has a God-given right to choose what goes into their body, the AMA is taking a position of medical fascism that does not even recognize the right of doctors to prescribe whatever medications they see fit for their patients. You see people crossing the border into Mexico to get ivermectin. You see people going to Tractor Supply and using the horse paste version of ivermectin. In 1996, ivermectin was approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for use in humans. Today, ivermectin is off patent while available generically, for treating a variety of pathologies. But the problem is, because using ivermectin breaks the pandemic script, everyone is just supposed to forget about ivermectin even existing. You just, you know, mask up, shut up, and get vaccinated. So now the AMA is trying to make it impossible to get, of course, except for on the black market. And what happens then? That's when people really start to get sick, because black market, you don't know who's making these things. The American Medical Association, which represents only 12% of practicing physicians, and remember this, they receive more money from the federal government than from its waning membership dues. So again, they kowtow to the agenda. And two national pharmacy associations who receive corporate support from COVID-19 vaccine manufacturers. We're talking about Pfizer. We're talking about AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson. They've decided that ivermectin should not be used to treat this virus, despite widespread successful treatment with this drug. Remember, it was discovered in the late 70s and it was used in humans since 1988. Ivermectin is currently available over the counter in most countries, except, of course, the land of the free, the United States of America, where you can get a prescription for hydrocodone, but you can go to jail for growing a plant in your backyard. Land of the free, baby. If American drugstores implement this dangerous policy, many lives will be lost. Well, a lot of lives were lost last year when they were hitting people up with the kidney failure medicine remdesivir and shoving an intubator down their throats. In a September 1st press release, the AMA, along with the American Pharmacists Association and the American Society of Health System Pharmacists, explained that they strongly oppose the ordering, prescribing, or dispensing of ivermectin to prevent or treat COVID-19 outside of a clinical trial. Quote, we are alarmed by reports that outpatient prescribing for and dispensing of ivermectin have increased 24-fold since before the pandemic and increased exponentially over the past few months. No doubt, the statement by Joe Rogan, who took ivermectin and was cured in 2 or 3 days. And then, of course, the CNN guy he had on there, Sanjay, whatever his name is, he danced around, you know, like he was in Vietnam walking through a minefield. And then, of course, he was interviewed the next night on CNN, and they still laughed at it and called it a horse dewormer. That's your mockingbird media. The government runs the media. Stop watching Fox News. Stop watching MSNBC. Stop watching CNN. You'll be more smarter watching a turtle race than watching any of those programs. Even though that there are almost no risks associated with taking ivermectin as normally prescribed, the AMA, the APHA, and the ASHP, they're literally freaking out about the fact that some doctors are administering it to their sick patients. Again, how dare you have a say with your body, except for abortions, that's cool. Off-label prescription of pharmaceuticals has been common practice for many decades. Now that COVID is here and being highly politicized by the far left, the progressives, however, it is suddenly a mortal sin in the eyes of the medical establishment to even just try using ivermectin for treating the Rothschild virus. Just prior to when the Fauci flu made its appearance, the AMA actually issued an official policy guideline confirming that it offers strong support for the off-label prescription of pharmaceuticals whenever a doctor deems that it may be helpful. But then again, they went up and shored all this stuff up. Remember in, I think it's called PubMed, which is the, you know, the famous thing, the doctors, you know, papers are written, they're peer reviewed. When all this kicked off, like, you know, 19, 20 months ago, PubMed published the correlation between 5G radiation poisoning and COVID. It was published on PubMed. And then as soon as Pfizer and the AMA caught wind of that, they had it taken down. And don't believe me, go to PubMed. It's not there anymore, but it shows where it was pulled. It lists the title of the article, and it says it was pulled. And you have to do a little searching on the internet, but you'll find the original article. And one thing we talk about, you know, World War I, the Spanish flu, that 1917, 1918 timeline is when the radio waves started to begin. So maybe there is something to that. Just an observation, just a hypothesis, not a doctor. Don't play one on TV. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just telling you that happened and you can look for yourself. Don't take anything I say, you know, research yourself. Quote, our AMA confirms its strong support for the autonomous clinical decision-making authority of a physician and that a physician may lawfully use an FDA-approved drug, product, or medical device for an off-label indication when such use is based upon sound scientific evidence or sound medical opinion, the organization confirmed at the time. Listen, the fact of the matter is HCQ, ivermectin, should absolutely 100% be OTC, right? Everything about our country is ass backwards. Everything is. Now that the Biden regime wants everyone to get vaccinated, though, the AMA is doing everything possible to restrict access to ivermectin, which, listen, it would have put an end to this a long, long time ago. Today, practicing physicians who save lives using drug therapy are ostracized. Mainstream medicine appears to be rejecting efforts to combat COVID-19 with drugs in favor of experimental, you know, I don't like to use the word vaccine because it's not a vaccine, the gene therapy. And as the medical establishment continues its assault on safe and effective remedies for the Rothschild virus, you know, we have to continue to fight because in this case, it most certainly is our body and our choice. By the way, before I get to my last story, before we get into the main event conversation today, I did not take the time to acknowledge the chat room. Thank you, Pat. It's always a pleasure to see you in here, sir. Just me. Blessing. Who else we have in here? Dirt Engineer. I think I saw Lady Horse earlier. Good old Daniel from Ballbusters is in there. Thank you so much. And everybody else in the chat room, thanks for supporting me here in this 10 to 12 spot. And of course, wow, it's already 10:41. An hour and 19 minutes from now, it's Jim and Giuseppe with the event. So don't touch that dial today, folks. Just kick back, whether you're at work or you're home. Keep it right here all day. Last story. Terry McAuliffe, the guy who said that parents have no business being in school, right? He said the other day that more than 1,100 children were hospitalized with COVID. And the truth of the matter was, there was 35. So Terry McAuliffe, the ex-Virginia governor, fighting to get his old job back in next Tuesday's gubernatorial election, has been repeatedly and dramatically inflating his state's coronavirus case and hospitalization numbers, which, look, this has been going on since the beginning, right? And this is actually, shockingly, from the fact checkers at the Washington Post, which is Jeff Bezos's paper. And one day they're printing propaganda, and the next day they're printing something like this, which tells me that Terry McAuliffe is not part of the plan going forward, if you're going to look at it critically. The Post reporters say they initially raised their eyebrows at McAuliffe's calculations during a debate at the end of September, when he said there were 8,000 coronavirus cases yesterday in Virginia, but official records showed fewer than 2,000 cases. The following week, on October 7th, McAuliffe said that 1,142 children were not only in the hospital, they were intensive care unit beds with COVID. Folks, there aren't 1,100 children in this country in ICU beds. That's the fact. There were only 35 children in the hospitals. Never mind intensive care, just in the hospital, in the entire state of Virginia. He replayed that claim not once, but twice in subsequent weeks, when throughout the entire pandemic, Virginia has reported an overall total of 952 hospitalizations in children under 17, overall, the last 19 months. So again, your government, our government is full of liars, scammers, and thieves. And I say this often, and I think when most people have their wake-up moment, they realize, and that's the little mantra I kick off my podcast with, everything we've been told is a lie, right? If your partner, if you find out, you know, they come home late, if you find out they were cheating on you and they tell you, oh, it was just last night, it was just the one time, do you really believe that? Well, that's the way you have to look at it with the federal government, right? Before my great awakening, right, we used to believe that we are all born equal, that our public education gives us knowledge and wisdom, that my 4 years at Texas A&M will bring me lifelong security. And those history books that I paid $300 for were accurate and true. And those books said that we evolved out of apes. We were told that fluoride would stop our teeth from rotting. We're told at a young age, as a doctor looked at us and smiled and injected vaccine at us, that the vaccines would keep us healthy. That the pyramids were tombs for pharaohs. We were told that our tap water was safe to drink, that the food on the supermarket shelves were healthy, that mathematical formulas could explain everything. And that's something it took me a long time to figure out. Don't worry, mathematically, if it makes sense mathematically, then it has to be so. Right? Gravity was well defined and understood because, well, an apple fell off a tree and hit a guy on the head. And of course, the brave men who went to the moon on July 20th, 1969, the 201st day of the year, 201, the Jesuits' favorite number, that they traveled through the Van Allen belts but had no problem with the radiation? That we landed a probe on Mars? That the sun is a giant nuclear reactor? That cancer cannot be cured? But it's funny that each of the 13 bloodlines all go on to live late 90s, 102. The drug companies can develop cures for diseases, and that pills will make us better. Alexander was great because he conquered the world. That Adolf Hitler was evil because he wanted to conquer the world. Hitler started the war, and Churchill was a saint. We used to believe that our calendar was accurate and that we live in a year called 2021. The fact is there's 13 months, 28 days apiece. We've been lied to on every level. We're told that the government is our servant. Nothing could be further from the truth. They say our government is doing the best they can to keep us safe. Nothing could be further from the truth. That William Shakespeare wrote all those great stories. The man who wrote The World as a Stage was probably a character himself, right? We were told that money makes the world go round, and that our banks are controlled by our governments, when in fact, the Federal Reserve is a privately owned entity. And they don't teach that stuff in school. They don't want to illuminate you like they are. Because economics is very complicated, and only a few people can truly understand how it works. And of course, we were told that two jumbo jets were flown into the Twin Towers at the behest of 19 guys with box cutters who were receiving instructions from a guy in a cave who truly died in December of 2001. And of course, we were told Saddam Hussein was hiding weapons of mass destruction. That Henrik Vorwerk was killed because of apartheid, that Gaddafi was a dangerous dictator and had to be taken out, that royalty has a divine right to conquer and rule the world. We're told all these things over and over and over again. Earth hurtles through space and spins at 1,000 miles an hour. But I think there's a lot of people out there that are finally waking up. They're figuring out that they've been lied to, they've been manipulated, and you have to re-educate yourself. You want to talk about re-education camps. When you finally get that awakening, you literally have to re-educate yourselves. Not the way that the elite want to re-educate you, but it sends you in this never-ending journey to the truth. Which brings you to, you finally realize that the whole freedom versus safety argument that they tell you, well, you need to give up a little bit of your freedom to be safe so we can protect you. There's a famous GIF or, picture. It's got the founding fathers standing in front of the Constitution. And they say, we will follow this unless there's an emergency, then it all goes out the window. And that's what we try to bring across most truthers is if you let them get away one time to take our civil liberties and put them aside in times of crisis, they are going to create the crisis. Whether it's Pearl Harbor, the Gulf of Tonkin, Fort Sumter, which was a false flag in a different way, they create the emergency to make things happen. And every day, the federal government, not just the federal government, but the state government and your local governments, they pass laws that are supposed to make us safer. But the fact is, as they make society safer, per se, they're slowly chewing away at our rights, at our liberties, and our personal freedoms. So where is the balance? Is a Nerf ball society worth giving up your freedoms for? So at what point do we tell the government that we would rather die than become mindless government slaves? There has to be a line between where our right to choose is more important than the government's right to impose their standards on us. Unfortunately, there are too many people in this country who have lost their critical thinking skills, or possibly may have never had them at all. We have laws that regulate everything. You want to go fishing? You got to get a license. You got to follow the laws. You want to ride a motorcycle? Got to get a license. You're driving your car? You have to wear a seatbelt or they will pull you over and give you a ticket. If you want to ride your motorcycle, you have to wear a helmet. You have children under 12, they have to ride in the back seat. Do you see this long? And I say it all the time, they do it so slow over such a period of time, they no rush, law after law after law after law until they program you. There's even some places if you smoke, which listen, I'm not a hypocrite. I smoked for 20 years. I thank God every day I quit 10 years ago. But smokers, there's some places where they can't even smoke outside, right? People can't even smoke a plant that they can grow in their backyard to relax them in the privacy of their own homes. Children are expelled from schools for possession of non-prescription drugs. The government wants to regulate your entire health system, which you're seeing right before your very eyes. Your religion, 501c3s. And they told them last year they couldn't be open. You could only have X amount of people. Again, you open that door, you complied, and it's done. You can't comply to something that is unlawful no matter what the threat is, because they'll make it up. Remember they said, oh, you can't spank your kids anymore. How's that working out for us? You need to get a license to get married. And of course, your freedom of speech. They want to control what you can post on the internet. They'll deplatform you. They'll take away your PayPal. They'll kick you off of YouTube. And it's not Google. It's the government. They're all fronts for the government. They want to tell you what your children can wear in school. They want to tell you, like Mike Obama, what your children can eat at lunch in school. And you allowed it. I shouldn't say you. We allowed it. They'll write you a ticket for jaywalking because you didn't walk across the certain part of the street where you're authorized to walk. And of course, just look at Chappelle. They want to try to control what jokes you can tell and when you can and when you can't and how to discipline your child. Police can arrest you in your home without a warrant. The Division of Family Service, CPS, they can take your kids away. Teachers can no longer enforce discipline in the classroom. When I was junior high school, I cut class one day. My vice principal was like a 25-year Marine vet. Let me tell you something. That was the last time I ever cut school. The courts tell you who you can have, right? They decide your divorces. They can say, oh, you're losing your kids if you don't comply with their standards. If you spank your kids, you can lose them for child abuse. They can take away your property without ever charging you, let alone convicting you of a crime. Again, you say you own your home, but if you don't pay your taxes, you lose your home. And if the government wants your house, all they have to do is establish what? Probable cause that your house was involved in a crime to institute a civil forfeiture proceeding. And again, all of this is for the children and to enforce drug laws to protect you from criminals. We're about at the break. I think we have about another 90 seconds. So before we get into eliminating civil liberties reduces crime, right? That's the progressives' thought. And then I found something from Lou Rockwell, about maybe dissolving the entire federal government isn't such a bad idea after all. Some people say limit. Some people say dissolve altogether. You're listening to the Fact Hunter Experience on this October 27th, 2021. Beautiful day here in the Mid-Atlantic region. I think we're looking at a high of about 70 degrees. We have homeschool. On Wednesdays, we do it in the afternoon after the show, so the little one gets a little free time in the morning. We got some homeschool, and then Got some work to do in the backyard on this beautiful day, and we'll certainly be listening to the event with Giuseppe and Dr. Jim Fetzer. Thank everybody for tuning in today. Thanks for all the interaction in the chat room. What else do we have? Don't forget tonight on thefacthunter.com at 9 p.m., we have our weekly roundtable. We'll have folks from Australia, Ireland, the United States. It's a great roundtable. I think we have five people lined up. It's always a great conversation for observations of the tyranny that's going on around the world. And if you'd like to join us, or you have any questions, comments, concerns for me, shoot me an email to thefacthunter@mail.com. That's thefacthunter@mail.com. We appreciate all the support as we eclipse 130,000 downloads. We appreciate all the support and thank the management of revolution.radio and freedomslips.com for giving us this awesome platform, this awesome audience. Thank Pat for being there each and every week. He's got my back in the chat room, and all the great listeners who are hip to the government trying to keep us down. We'll be back here in just a few minutes with our thoughts on safety versus freedom. We'll continue that. We'll talk more about dissolving the federal government, and we're going to look at the corrupt Federal Reserve and how they are at the root of each and every one of the problems. That's a poison that we can certainly do without. Don't touch that dial, everybody. We'll be back in about 4 minutes. You're listening to the Fact Hunter Experience of Revolution Radio.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
What's up, everybody? It's George the Fact Hunter. Listen,
it is no secret don't that waste your time mainstream media is MSNBC, best described as controlled
CNN,
propaganda.
And Fox News.
Countless news stories are either stay totally
right
ignored
here
or spun with half-truths. And because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern. And learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Junkie, I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom, at a time when freedom is needed the most.
Join Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back, everybody. We are live. It's 11:02 a.m. Eastern Time, 8:02 on the left coast. Hope everybody is having a tremendous morning. You're listening to the Fact Hunter Experience on Revolution.Radio and FreedomSlips.com on this beautiful Wednesday morning of October 27th. Don't forget, in about 58 minutes, the event with Jim and Giuseppe will be following us. And most importantly, please remember to take the time, if you have a little bit of spare chains burning in your pockets, please take the time to go to the website. There's a donation button at the very top. Please click it. Let's keep this going, right? This is the most powerful, one of the most powerful tool. Our voice, the truth is the most powerful tool in this war for freedom. So please keep it going, whether it's through a one-time donation, becoming a Patreon, or going to the bottom of the webpage and mailing it old school. And the address is right there on the bottom of the webpage. So getting back to the thought of eliminating civil liberties, reducing crime. But the fact of the matter is reducing crime is simple. And all we have to do is eliminate the Constitution and get rid of all these rights, right? If a person commits a crime, we handle it old school like they did back in the day, right? Would it work? It would be interesting to see, right? Going from rules for everything to no rules. Do you think, you know, people would think twice if everybody back in the 1800s, right? If you thought about committing a crime, you get what I'm saying. Now, the fact is, how far gone are we? You know, we're in a very bad direction right now. I mean, who would have thought the police would come into your home without a warrant and haul you off to jail? Or you would lose your job because you refused a jab, which is mandated by the federal government. Again, mandate's not a law, but you can see that all these companies who receive federal funds are complying because they don't want to lose their money. And at the end of the day, that's what all this about is money, right? Who would have thought the government could take your house without convicting you of a crime? You would have thought that they could take your children away without a conviction or a judge's order, right? This is supposed to be the land of the free, the home of the brave. But what does it mean to be free? Because if this is freedom, then I don't want any part of it, right? To me, being free, being a free man, not a citizen of the United States, not an employee of the corporation, but an individual who is free, the freedom to make my own decisions, and that I will be responsible for the decisions that I make, okay? I decide what I want to believe in. If I decide to risk my life by not wearing a seatbelt, so be it. If I get hit on, chances are I'm not going to survive, and in a way, that's natural selection. If I decide I want to ruin my health by smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day and drinking all kinds of soda all day, it's my decision. I decide what I want to believe in, right? If I want my children to sit in the front seat of the car or in the back of my pickup truck, that's my choice. If I want to sit in my backyard and get drunk or stoned, that's my choice. If my children need their butt swatted, that's my choice. And if I want to decide where to go to church and what church I want to go to, that's my choice. The government has no say. There's supposed to be a separation in church and state. So again, there's a very fine line between freedom and safety. And once you start opening that can of worms, it's over. They slowly creep in and take everything over. And we as a people can't sit back and assume, right? There's so many people so dependent on Uncle Sam. They want him to take care of everything. The fact is, the states should have all the say. The federal government should have such a small part of our life. And the fact that we let them, and when I say them, these are elites, these are parasites. Of the 340 million people in this country, you're telling me that Joseph Robinette Biden is the brightest light of them all? Let me tell you something. He's in the bottom 1%. But we all know why he was elected. So we could stand back, read cue cards, and the evil seeds of Cain, for lack of a better word, could run this country into the ground and proceed with their one world government, which is coming if we don't do something really, really soon. Again, we have, as a people, we have a duty to watch the government, keep a close eye on them, and slap it down when it gets out of line. We as people have to be worthy of deserving freedom. This is not something that was just bestowed upon us by our founding fathers. It was our job. That's why they put the Second Amendment in place to begin with, was to keep the government in check. We're not doing a very good job of it. They have stepped all over us for the last 110 years. And listen, that's that's probably the understatement of the century. When the first charter ran out in 1811, that was probably, you know, were we really only free for about 40 years? Who knows? Because we don't know how much of our history is actually true. But it is truly up to us to maintain it, to defend it. If we let liberty and freedom slip away a little at a time, just like boiling the frog, then we are a people who don't deserve to be free. Do you get what I'm saying? If we don't stand up for our family, then maybe we don't deserve to be free. Maybe we do deserve what's coming. Right? Just as the government has a duty to serve us, we as people, we have our duty to defend our freedom and to understand and appreciate the rewards of being a free and open society, not just taking it for granted as we have for most of my life, and I'm 52. People were so busy in the 80s having a good time that they completely missed the boat in 86 when Reagan took all of the vaccine makers off the hook. We never held them accountable. And if we as a people fail in our duty to protect our freedom, then maybe we don't deserve to be a free people, anymore. And that may be a bitter pill to swallow, but it's the truth. So again, what if we, you know, what's the answer? Maybe we do need to dissolve the federal government. According to Michael Rozeff, he says, every so often I reiterate this suggestion. If you remember recently with the revelations of PRISM spying on the NSA, these are one of those times. I cannot be comprehensive, but I can mention a few reasons why you'll be better off without the federal government, which is the United States of America Incorporated. He says, one, you won't pay any federal taxes. Look at your pay stubs. Look how much. Could you imagine? Let me see how I can make this correlation here. You tip 20% to a waitress and she gets your order completely wrong. The steak's cold. You order a beer, you get a glass of wine. Everything about your dinner is just completely jacked up and you still tip 20%. That's kind of what the federal government is. Then there's Social Security tax, income tax, tariffs, excise taxes. What else? Medicare, telephone taxes. Look at your Verizon bill or whatever phone service you use. Look how many taxes are in your phone bill next time. For all of you smokers, the reason that you're paying $9 for a pack of smokes right now is because there's about $6 tax on every pack. Then there's gift taxes at the airport, their taxes, inheritance taxes. capital gains taxes, which, by the way, that new capital gains tax that Janet Yellen wants to imply, if you buy $1,000 worth of stock, it goes up to $6,000 and that goes back down to $1,000, they still want you to pay taxes on that $6,000. It's going to break everybody. It's going to destroy 401ks. People need to read into that and get loud about it, right? And listen, if you get rid of the federal government, you won't have to use fiat money. No more play money. You might actually have a chance to use money that holds its value, right? It's not monopoly money. And what that means is we won't have to support a bloated military-industrial complex, the agricultural complex, the education complex, the Wall Street complex, the banking complex, which is at the root of all evil, going all the way to the top, the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, the scientific complex, or any federal crony capitalist complex, right? All these do is misdirect the tax money that's taken from you. You have no say. You might think you have a say, but you don't have any say what the federal government does with your tax money. Just the same way your vote doesn't count. And I think everybody learned that a year ago. Again, you won't have to worry about idiotic wars like, oh, I don't know, Vietnam, Korea, the Desert Storm fraud, Iraq, weapons of mass destruction. All that shit will be out the window. You won't have to fear terrorism anymore. Terrorism will be gone because the terrorism is all prompted by the United States federal government, 99% of it. All those guys, the Lee Harvey Oswalds, Sirhan Sirhans, Timothy McVeighs, Muhammad Attas, they're all puppets for the federal, you know, they're patsies. That's all they are. You'll no longer be party to immoral invasions of other countries. And you won't have to pay for them or suffer the loss of injury of loved ones in them. Businesses won't have to deal with a huge number of counterproductive regulations that are holding them back and preventing them from hiring and training employees. If you remember, they started making all the rules and regulations. And when I say them, I'm talking about the federal government that made it cheaper for governments, or excuse me, for industries, manufacturers, to put their production plants outside of the United States. And that's really where we started to see this country get crippled, whether it be car manufacturers, I mean, you name it. You just turn over everything in your house and it either says made in China, made in Indonesia, made in the Philippines, made in Mexico. Very rarely do you see something that says made in the USA. And by the deindustrialization of this country, that is a cancer within itself that has destroyed the middle class. But without the federal government, newer and smaller businesses would be able to form more easily. We wouldn't have to go through all, and lawyers are just, for the most part, I don't like to categorize everybody, but they're parasites. And we wouldn't have to deal with those type of things. The legal aspects of just trying. Do you remember all the stories, kids having lemonade stands and the city would come down and close them because they didn't have a license to sell? That kind of stuff is just garbage. It's very difficult in this highly legislated world we live in for small business to compete with larger companies whose federal subsidies and wealth transfers disappear. I mean, you've seen 40% of small business just collapse over the last 18 months. Furthermore, a number of cartelized industries will face this competition. Not only that, you're going to have more and higher quality drugs come to market. Airlines will shape up, and there will be better airports built. And then one of the bigger and brighter things that I think we can look at is you'll stop the federalizing of local police forces. Again, why the federal government is so involved with local, which is a direct violation of the 10th Amendment. The federal government needs to get the hell out of the state's business. And again, this training includes the police to be brutal and insensitive. Well, I told this before. I went to this was a couple months ago, but I went to the Wawa to get gas. And I ran inside to get a bottle of water and a pretzel or something. And there was a cop inside. And from head to toe, he had a helmet on. He had a vest on. He had knee pads, elbow pads. He had like three different weapons on him. And I looked at him, and there was a lot of people in there. And sometimes I just say things. I think when you get older, that filter in your mind just goes out the window. And I said, dude, I said, I didn't wear that much stuff when I was walking through downtown Baghdad. And like everybody laughed at him, and you could see his face. He was not happy with me, but I didn't care. I was like, you're supposed to protect and serve. And here you are looking like G.I. freaking Joe. You know what else would end if we got rid of the federal government? The war on drugs, which has destroyed so many families and inner cities. Unless your state renews it, but that's up to the state. But see, you can't hold people at the federal level accountable. They're just a figure on the television. You can't get in front of Joe Biden. You can't get in front of the attorney general. What you can do is get in front of your governor and your state representatives and your mayors. That's the beauty in their eyes of the federal government. You can't touch them. They can do whatever they want. Rules for thee, not for me. And of course, minimum wage will be a thing of the past, which will bring some people shudder when they hear that. What? No minimum wage? But that will bring true competition. You know, there's a $15 minimum wage everywhere now. Let me ask you this. How's that working for the labor market? I didn't think so. The fact of the matter is those who've been thrown out of the workforce because of it will not only find new jobs, there's a pretty good chance they'll find better paying jobs. And I think that you'll find with Medicare and Medicaid gone that the quality and quantity of medical services would be greatly improved. Okay. Like I'm in a socialist medical system, the VA, that's socialist. I've got one doctor who looks at 400 people. Every time I see him, he never remembers who I am. He has to go to his little chart. Last time we met, he doesn't remember me. Back when we grew up, or at least when I grew up, I had the same doctor, you know, my whole life. He knew me. Every time I saw him, hey. But again, I hate going back to this all the time. When the federal government took over education, it destroyed community. It threw community into the wind. Not a lot of people don't even know their neighbor's name. But the biggest thing is without the hammer and the sickle at every turn, the truth is prosperity and progress will continue to grow. It'll flourish. You won't be spied on at every turn. You'll have freedom of speech. You'll be held accountable for what you say. But you'll be able to say it. You'll be able to invest overseas without being spied on. And the whole stupid being searched and delayed at airports, having your freedoms violated every time you try to fly. But again, it's for your safety. And then, of course, the biggest one, gun owners won't have to worry about federal gun laws. Again, we talked about this a few weeks ago. You know, Norm and Normie out on the street. We need gun laws, but I don't want guns in the hand of psychopaths. But we know the federal government is about to call people like you and I terrorists because we question the agenda. They've already said that. If you question what happened January 6th, you're a terrorist. If you question COVID-19, you're a terrorist. So all these people that say, I don't want guns in the hand of terrorists, well, they can label whoever the hell they want a terrorist. Be careful what you wish for. But the result of lifting all the tax and regulatory burdens and having a stable economy, or excuse me, stable money, will be a vast increase in real saving and real investments. And I think you would really see the economy truly improved. Because again, I can't say this enough. The stock market is being held up artificially. There is a major, whether you want to call it a correction or a crash, as sure as Monday follows Sunday, it's coming. I can't say when. I'm not a prophet, but it's coming. And when it does, it's going to be ugly for a lot of people. But most importantly, you won't have to put up with the national media that glorify Washington. Right? You can finally focus your attention on what really counts, and that should be the local and state. Again, the federal government was originally really only formed to settle disputes between the states and to protect, you know, the country. But again, they have said, well, we need to do this just to be safe. Well, we need to do this. Well, what about this? And here we are 250 years later in a full-fledged communist country. And that's what it is. Finally, you won't be asked to vote at the national level. And the fact of the matter is, every 4 years, what do? We pick the two of lesser evils. That's a fact. You won't have to choose between a thief or a con man. You won't have to listen to them. That's all. It would be all state and local government. You won't have FEMA around anymore. How about that? The states will be responsible just like they should be. You'll kill any chance of a mandatory national service. Right? You won't have to worry about your daughters being sent off to war because now they want all females at the age of 18 to sign up for selective service. Once you see how much life better could be without a federal government, then you can really see, you know, the opportunities that we could have if we didn't have people standing in our way versus allowing us to flourish. And again, at the root of all of that, in my humble opinion, is the Federal Reserve. As I said, I get emails all the time. You know, I should talk more about 9/11. I should talk more about the coronavirus tyranny. I get all kinds of observations. But what I rarely get is what really is the root of all evil, and that's the Federal Reserve. They put us in debt. They put nations in debt. And if you don't go along with them, well, then they have you taken out. Just see Muammar Gaddafi and friends. That's, in my humble opinion, if I was told, hey, you can only talk about one thing from here on out, it would have to be dissolving the Federal Reserve. Remember, a Federal Reserve note is issued as a debt, whereby it used to be a receipt. Now it's a debt. So if someone says, do you have a credit card, and you say no, well, if you got a $5 bill in your pocket, truth is you're carrying debt. And if you ask many people of our fellow American citizens what the Federal Reserve is, 9 times out of 10, you'll get an answer that it's a government agency that creates all of the money to run our country. Again, this is a misconception that most Americans have, because the Federal Reserve, while it's a government agency, but it's a private entity. Okay. So first thing, it must be understood that the Federal Reserve Corporation is not a government agency, as most people think. It's a private corporation controlled by the bankers, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, those people, the Morgans. And therefore, it is operated for the financial gain of the bankers over the people, rather than for the good of the people. Remember, when our founding fathers wrote the Constitution of the United States back in the 1700s, they specifically stated in Article 1 of the Constitution that Congress shall have the power to coin money and regulate the value thereof. It was the wish of the founding fathers that the power to create and control the money be in the hands of the federal Congress, not in the hands of private bankers who could charge enormous amounts of interest and who could actually then control the country by controlling the money. So again, if you think the president is the high chief, you're wrong. See, they understood the tricks of the bankers for what did everybody remember old Mayor Rothschild, the great European banker. He once said, "Permit me to issue and control the money of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws," because he knows once he controls the money, he's running the show. He doesn't care who's in charge. That's why people, when they say, you know, Trump, you know, was this or that, the Rothschilds really don't care. They don't care who makes the laws because they control it. It was their belief that all citizens should share in the profits of its creation, not just private bankers. And therefore, the national government must be the only creator of money. So what happened? Well, for several years after the Constitution was signed, the money was handled both legally and illegally, the bankers having devised all kind of tricks to try to take control of the nation's money. And then, of course, there's the question, what happened to all the gold after 71 when it went fiat? That's another discussion for another day we'll talk about. But, of course, the final blow we've talked about endlessly, Christmas Eve, 1913, Congress passed the Federal Reserve Act. But again, it's the Federal Reserve Act, but they are private bankers. The passage of the Federal Reserve Act authorized the establishment of a Federal Reserve Corporation with a board of directors. And of course, it's divided into 12 districts. Now, the new law completely removed from Congress the right to create money or to have any control over its creation, and gave this function over to the Federal Reserve Corporation. And then the Fed would go on to print Federal Reserve notes, which are still accepted today as money among the citizens of the country. But again, you have to understand that these Federal Reserve notes used as money shouldn't be considered as being constitutional money. Why? Again, because the Congress went against the Constitution of the United States when it passed the Federal Reserve Act, because it specifically states that Congress, and only Congress, shall have the power to coin and regulate the money of the country. So everybody who was sitting in Congress on December 24th, 1913, committed treason, for lack of a better words, including Woodrow Wilson. Excuse me, I'll take a drink. So many people ask, what does it matter if Congress or private bankers create the money, right? It's accepted by the people, just the same as a medium of exchange with which to perform business transactions. So, all right, let's say that the federal government needs, just say, $1 billion. After it's collected taxes and everything else to continue financing its projects. Well, since it does not have the money and Congress has given away its authority to create it, the government has to go to the privately run Federal Reserve, which is now in charge of creating the money for the country. But listen, the Federal Reserve just doesn't go, here you go, United States. Here's $1 billion. And next year, let's hope that you've made an extra billion and you can pay us back and we'll be even. That's not how the corrupt Federal Reserve works. They don't just give money away. Now, listen, the bankers have no problem printing $1 billion and handing it to the federal government, because while they received $1 billion, they probably have to pay back $2 billion because it is delivered with interest. The Congress then authorizes the Treasury Department to print $1 billion in U.S. bonds, which are then delivered to the Federal Reserve bankers. So the Federal Reserve then pays the cost of printing the $1 billion. So not only do they have to pay back the loan, they charge the government for the cost of printing. And then they make the exchange. And then, of course, the government then used the money to pay its obligations. Now, we know they have not paid all their obligations, because right now we are over $30 trillion in debt. And there's a website. You can go look at the national debt. It's just spinning constantly. Now, I'm sure we're probably somewhere around $31-32 trillion. And if Biden gets his way, we'll be another, what, $3 trillion in debt. And again, that is the evil of fiat currency, what people need to understand. It's the reason why wars happen. It's the reason all this evil that's going on. It's because we've given them a credit card with no limit, basically, is what we've given them. And they're reckless. They don't care as long as their pockets are lined. So what are the results of this? The $1 billion in government bills is paid, but the government now has indebted us, the people, to the bankers for the $1 billion. And we're the ones who pay the interest. And of course, the interest is not created the same way the money is created. I mean, just think, many of you guys listening to my voice, you've worked your ass off all your life. Could you imagine if you could go back how much in federal taxes you've paid in your entire life? I bet for a lot of people, you could buy a nice house. And to top it all off, on this $1 billion that the Federal Reserve received in bonds from this transaction, it's legally allowed to create another $15 billion in new credit to lend the states, the municipalities, businesses, and individuals. And that's added to the original billion. So they could have $16 billion created in credit out of loans paying their interest, but only costing them the $1,000 they used to print it. It's a diabolical scheme. And again, if you want to clarify the term creating money, it's referring to the process used to bring money into existence, right? The bankers create money out of nothing by simply writing numbers into their ledger books and going to the printer press and giving loans to the American people with this money, and then allowing them to write checks on the numbers written in their accounts. But then again, requiring payment with interest. Money is nothing but numbers, be it numbers in a ledger book or on a check or on dollar bills or a credit card statement. But by using this process, again, banks are only required to hold 10% of your physical money. So if you have $10,000 in the bank, they're only required to hold 10% of that. The rest they take and lend out to make more money off of interest. So again, creating the money out of nothing and then charging interest on you. It's a hell of a racket that they're running, that these Zionists are literally making us debts to slave. And the Federal Reserve prints the paper money we use in circulation, the Federal Reserve notes, by having numbers printed on pieces of little paper, and they've had no value for the last 50 years. Fact is, if you go back to 1910, before the passage of the Federal Reserve Act, you know what the federal debt was back in 1910? It was less than $1 billion. It was $12.40 per citizen. And state and local debts were practically non-existent. Just 10 years later, and only 6 years after the Federal Reserve was created, the federal debt went to $24 billion. And again, this is 1910 to 1920. Think how much money $23 billion is. And it went from $12 per citizen to $228 per citizen. Then, of course, it's going nonstop. 1960, it was almost $300 million or $1,500 per citizen. And then in 81, for the first time, it passed $1 trillion and has continued to grow exponentially over the last 40 years. Because the bankers' rates, it's all a numbers game, and we are slaves of the debt. October 2005, the federal debt reached $8 trillion, $26,000 for each U.S. citizen. It's out of control. It's out of control, right? The people of this country have become tenants and debt slaves to the bankers and their agents and the land our fathers conquered, again, because we allowed to get away with it. Do we deserve our freedom if we continue to let these people trample all over us? Our children, their children, and the following generations will be paying this debt forever and ever and ever. Or does the game play out? The New World Order steps in and says, we'll just wipe away your debt if you sign on to this one world currency. Because we're coming to a point where eventually the government will own nothing, the people will own nothing, and the bankers will own everything. And to think back in the 1700s, Thomas Jefferson had warned the American people about such a thing happening. And of course, you know, they've made Jefferson to look out to be this bad guy. They're taking his statues out everywhere. and Hamilton, the good guy, right? Let's make a play about him. Hamilton was a banker. You know, he loved the bankers, and Jefferson didn't. Jefferson said, if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their private banks, to control the issue of their money, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of their property until their children will wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. That's alarming. You know, he said that 300 years ago, and it rings pretty true. When you look around what's going on, there's a lot of people hurting right now. And it's conquest through the most gigantic fraud and swindle in the history of mankind. Again, this has the reason, the Fed is the reason for every war we have. And to think that the key to their power and wealth is simply their legal right to create money out of nothing and lend it out at interest is such a simple scheme, evil scheme. If they would have stood up for us in 1913, think about how much better a world this would be. Because if they had not been allowed to do that, they could have never gained secret control of our nation. And of course, with the Depression, you know, many people, again, they're predicting we're going to have another big depression in the very near future. And if you're asking yourself, does this have anything to do with the operation of the Federal Reserve? You bet it does. Again, learn from history. They want to erase history so you don't learn from it. But if you go back to the late 20s and 30s, when, you know, the Great Depression, during that time, America had skilled and willing laborers, good farmland, a highly efficient transportation system, industries. All of that was needed to form a rich nation, all except for an adequate supply of money to carry on trade and commerce. Now, few people knew that the bankers had purposely withheld $8 billion from going into circulation by refusing loans to the population, while all at the same time, they demanded payment on existing loans so that the money was rapidly taken out of circulation and it wasn't being replaced. So because of this control of the money, our country was put into deep trouble. There was jobs still waiting to be done. There were goods available to be bought, but there was no money. Food was thrown into the ocean while people were starving. If this is all starting to sound familiar, with all the boats sitting outside the ports, maybe now some people will wake up. But 25% of American workers were laid off. And the greedy bankers took possession of hundreds of thousands of farms, hundreds of thousands of homes, and business properties. And who's the largest owner of land right now? Bill Gates. Believe it or not, some of the economic experts of that time blamed the moon for bringing about all the economic hardships. The gravity pool was affecting people. Of course, others blame politicians. Still others blame the consumers for being unwise about their money. But the fact of the matter is, through all the research, if you look carefully enough, you'll understand that the depression was purposely brought on by the bankers through their artificial control of the money. So, to end the Depression, what did the United States government do? Well, they borrowed huge sums of money from the bankers for military equipment, which, you know, gave birth to the military-industrial complex, which put a new supply of money into circulation. People were hired back to work. They went back to the factories. Industries began to blossom. Farmers sold their produce, and the economy boomed. The same bankers who in the early 30s had no loans for peacetime houses, for food, for clothing, all of a sudden had unlimited billions to lend the government for war purposes. The nation, which a few years later could hardly feed its own people, was now producing bombs to send to its allies free of charge. Think about that. They refused to print the money to feed the people, but had no problem producing bombs and sending it off to our allies. It should upset you. It should infuriate you. Just the same way when you see veterans in the streets and you see the federal government giving $10 million to Pakistan for gender studies. Should upset you. And to think that it's all because of some private bankers who calls themselves the Federal Reserve, who have the legal right to create, not just create, but to control the money. And for lack of a better word, they run our country as they wish. And of course, you know, I have distaste for this guy because it pisses me off. You know, Wilson has the great quotes, but at the end of the day, he allowed it to happen. And he knew it was happening. He said, a great industrial nation is controlled by its system of credit. Our system of credit is concentrated. The growth of the nation and all our activities are in the hands of a few men. We have come to be one of the world's worst ruled and one of the most completely controlled and dominated governments in the world. No longer a government of free opinion, no longer a government by conviction and vote of the majority, but a government by the opinion and duress of small groups of dominant men. And if you remember, just before he died, Wilson is reported to have stated to his friends that he was deceived. That's what they always say. And that he betrayed his country, which he was referring to the Federal Reserve Act that was passed during his presidency. And listen, at the end of the day, you can delegate responsibility, but you cannot delegate accountability. And for that, every time you hear the name Woodrow Wilson, you should think of giving away our freedoms. And we know that these bankers, the hidden controllers of the countries, again, as war swept across Europe from 1941 to 1945, somehow Switzerland was unscathed. I wonder why that was. Because bankers are the hidden controllers of the countries. They purposely instigate wars. They finance both sides of the same war to frighten the people into going billions, if not trillions, of dollars into debt for national defense. They even finance communism. They love communism. Then they turn around and have foreign aid sent to stop the communism that they financed because they charged both sides. The tens of thousands of young people who were killed and the hundreds of thousands who are crippled and who are morally corrupted from war and deal with a lifetime of PTSD, not being able to get a good night's sleep, means nothing to them. They don't care. In fact, it doesn't even matter who wins or loses the war. All they care about is that the countries involved are indebted to these bankers. Because again, if they're indebted, they don't control, they don't care who's in charge. Because if the person who is in charge doesn't go along with the game plan, they finance somebody to take them out. It was Henry Ford Sr. who once said, the youth who can solve the money question will do more for the world than all the professional soldiers of history. Think about that for a second. If you can solve the money question, you could do more for the world than all the soldiers of history. So I think after laying all this out, you can understand why. Because the bankers purposely try to corrupt the people so it is easier for them to control. You know, sweeping away anything that's honorable, such as morals, religion, family, and the love of country. What have they done for the last 40 years? They've encouraged, you know, pornography. They've glorified crime. They've corrupted our system. And they have deliberately prevented real cures for diseases. There's obviously a cure for cancer. Many people argue that the cancers are from demonizations. But they it's all about eugenics. They stir up social and racial unrest. And of course, they have worked successfully to degrade our educational system. And all of our politicians have become agents of the bankers, while our two parties, which again is a joke, they become their servants. Whether it's red or blue, whether it's a donkey or an elephant, they're all servants of the bankers. No matter who you elect into the high office, you can bet the Rockefellers and all his friends, the Rothschilds and all those friends, will be running the government behind the scenes. That's a fact. I mean, how else could something so diabolical as the Federal Reserve, something so destructive to the national interest of the people, be allowed to continue for the last 110 years? Why hasn't anybody stepped in? When's the last time you heard somebody, a senator, a congressman, stand up against the Federal Reserve? Because they're scared? Because they know there's a Jesuit right around the corner to take them out if they go against it? But again, this is the time of our life where we're going to see who the brave people are and who the cowards are. Because while this hasn't been a free country for a long time, if we want to keep any semblance of what we used to have, it's going to take men and women with conviction and doing things out of their comfort zone to save our children's and our grandchildren's future. You know, we know the bankers control all of the news media, the information centers, the financial writers, and they do that to prevent people from learning the simple truth about your money system. That's why they don't teach it in school. They blame people for causing the increase in debt. It's your fault, the way you spend your money. Inflation is your fault, when they want to know what the real cause of the debt money system is itself. So, you know, is there a one solution? Well, I think we can all agree on one thing, is that we have, you know, step one in undoing what's happened over the last 100+ years. We need to put pressure on the government to repeal the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. And everybody needs to demand that Congress, again, be allowed to create and control the money of the nation, issuing interest and debt-free United States notes as the legal currency. Now, you know, Kennedy wanted to do this before he was shot. You know, we can talk about Kennedy all day. Was he part of their team? Was he on our team? You know, there's lots of things that go along with Kennedy. A lot of people say he was the last good president. Some people argue that we haven't had a good president in 150 years. But with a reform in the monetary system, no private bankers would be able to rob the people. These government, you know, quote unquote, government banks under the control of the people's representatives would issue and control the money and the credit. Right? So a $60,000 loan, which is made to build a house, would only require $60,000 in repayment. You know, we're supposed to be the most, the richest country in the world. Like, if you take a $60,000 loan now and you repay that for 30 years, it comes out to like $255,000. So how does that benefit me of being a United States citizen? Right? That makes no sense. If we just print money, if we just print money out of nothing, why are you taking that much more money from me? Right? Everyone who supplied the materials and labors to build the house would get paid just as they were today. They would get their money back, right? You take the loan, the people who built the house get their money, and you get your house. But the bankers, the parasites who do absolutely nothing but suck the blood out of every citizen of this country, they make $195,000 out of printing money and handing it to you. People need to wise up to what's going on in this world right now. You want to talk about COVID tyranny? You want to talk about everything else? Flying planes into our buildings? Arranging the Gulf of Tonkin incident? You want to stop it? Repeal the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. Watch all the wars go away. Watch all the boogeymen disappear. and all the terrorists crawl back into their holes. Because a debt-free America, what would that mean? It would mean that a lot more mothers might not have to go to work. And maybe they do want to work. That's fine. That's freedom of choice. But maybe mothers would rather be home with their children and not have to work. They could remain home with their children. What would happen after that? Well, there's a good chance that juvenile delinquency would decrease rapidly. The crime rates would decrease rapidly. And the elimination of usury debt would be the equivalent of a 50% rise in the purchasing power of every worker. Think about how much more money everyone would have in their pockets. And of course, the bankers would no longer be able to steal billions of dollars from the people every single year in interest. And if you think America is the envy of the world now, just think about how prosperous and powerful this nation would come if we could get these bloodsuckers out of our lives. So again, you're not entitled to freedom. You got to fight for your freedom. Take action now. Not just as a quote-unquote citizen of the United States of America, but as a free man and woman. It's your duty to stand up to fight for your rights. Not just for your rights, but your children and your grandchildren's. Right? Your love of country, the people of this country are wonderful people. And I've been all around this world. But the love of country, but moreover the concern for your children, should make everyone deeply interested in this. This should be everybody's prime focus. If you want to say, you know, Fact Hunter, you need to focus on this. This is the end-all, be-all. This is the true game changer. You know, the future of our country depends on everyone in our listening voice. It takes all of us. You know, whether it's as simple as writing editorials in your local papers, getting to know your elected officials, because I guarantee you maybe 1 in every 100 people have any interactions with their local government. Get your friends to write. Everybody should be screaming to the local representatives, repeal the Federal Reserve Act. Do what you can, say your prayers, you know, so that, you know, maybe one day we can actually go back to being one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We are in unprecedented times, and there are just a few evil people sitting at the top of the food chain who have too much say over our lives. So we talked about the federal government, how much better life would be without them. And if there was one thing that we could change to make this world better, it would be to repeal the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. Deeds, not words, my friends. Time is a ticking. And I want to thank everybody who listened today on revolution.radio, freedomslips.com. We are live on Spreaker. This will go out as a podcast here in a few moments. And of course, on facthunterradio.com tonight at 8 p.m. I'm sorry, 9 p.m. Eastern time. We'll have the roundtable that's live on Spreaker. And you just go to the website, thefacthunter.com, and we have the video right there. I think we'll have 5 or 6 people on the roundtable tonight. It's always a good time. Don't miss it. My thanks to everybody at Revolution Radio. Stay tuned for Jim Fetzer and Giuseppe with the event. Always a great must-listen show. We should be going to the music here in just a moment. Thanks again to everybody in the chat room. Walter Mouser, good to see you, bro. Pat, Dry Fly Guy, May Street, 139, Blessings, Malia, and everyone else who joined us today. Good to see Jerbear in the chat room. He always has a great show as well. Shout out to Jerbear. Until next time, folks, again, deeds, not words. These are some crazy times. When you see somebody walking around with their head down, give them a little pat on the back. Give them, you know, some words of confidence. You may be losing the battle, but the word's not done yet. Until next time, I'm George Hobbs, the Fact Hunter. Keep your head on a swivel. We will see you. We'll be right back.
you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction. On Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not